Blog Talk Radio.
They forget to bring me water. They forget that I'm here. They don't know how smart even see my tears. What did I do wrong? What did I do? I just want someone to love me. It is to be a dog on a 10-foot chain.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Caring for Animals, number 306 shows this evening. And we're going to keep going because our animal friends in need and distress need our voices and our help to get positive changes made for their lives and futures, live comfortably in peace and away from fear and neglect and abuse. And so what we're on this radio platform is speaking out for them and trying to get changes made. And the changes to be made is we call our legislators and ask them, you know, to please do something and, you know, be professional and polite, and you'll get a lot farther to get, you know, what you have to offer and any changes that you may have. So I'm going to give out a quick number if you want to keep it in your contacts. For your state representative or senator, or senators, you can. And that area code is 202-224-3121. And it's going to ask your zip code during normal business hours or, you know, during the week. And after 5 o'clock and weekends, you can still leave a voicemail. So I'm going to, I'm going to repeat that again, area code 202-224-3121. So please, you know, be polite and treat them with dignity and respect and the good father, because the animals, the elderly, and the children, they don't have a voice, everyone. So we all know that. So we have to step up to the plate and make positive changes for them. And what we'll do here, I wanted to go over a couple things. My name is Debbie Dahmer, and I am the producer and host for Voices Caring for Animals. 306 shows tonight, everyone. I'm so happy about this because I love standing up for the animals in need and distress, our animal friends. So please, everyone, I hope you enjoy the show and your new listeners coming aboard. I hope you enjoy it and you keep spreading the word out there because we are strength in numbers. Ray Bittner out there, she told me that so many times, and I believe it, because the more of us come together, the stronger we become, and we're a team. Teamwork counts, and we're all a team. All we, the people of the United States, or our politicians, we got to come together. United we stand, not united we fall. So if you, a couple more things, I'm going to bring in a man on board to give announcement for Sunday in a few minutes. So Rob, please be patient. I'm going to bring you on in a second. And then I'm going to bring our guest on tonight, Florida Representative Elizabeth Federoff. And I want to welcome her on board because I know this is going to be another great show. And we're going to be talking about Florida HB731 animal cruelty. Pounce's Law. So just a few things. This show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette Online, Marty Oakley. Big shout out to her because she's the one that got me started through Four Voices Caring for Animals, June of 2014 on TS Radio Network. And then the 164 shows to now, I went on my own. She helped me out, Animal Advocates Radio. So I want to give her a big standing ovation and a shout out because I'm going to keep going out there, everyone. And I hope you enjoy the show. The shows are all recorded live and archived on Blog Talk Radio. And if you ever want to listen to them, just go to blogtalkradio.com, search Voices Carry for Animals, and all the links will pull up, and you can press what show you want to listen to. And wait a minute to download, and it will play. You can share from the left side of the screen, everyone. And also on the PPJ Gazette on the right-hand column under blog stats, you can search Voices Carry for Animals. So all these shows are there all the time, 365 days a year, 24/7. So if you want to go and listen to them and share them, get the word out there, we can do it, everyone. And, you know, help the animals out in need and distress, because I've seen a lot of victories come through, a lot of progress, and you can't take credit, but, you know, it takes all of us to come together to help make them changes and do what's right. And Representative Elizabeth Federoff, I'll be right with you in a second. I want to bring on Rob, and he's going to be discussing a very special event on this coming Sunday. How you doing, Rob? Thanks for calling
in.
I am
well. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm, you know, staying up on the platform and having all you, you know, listeners coming in and guests and you know, call. I mean, it's awesome, you know, staying up for the animals. It's very heartfelt. But go right ahead. Before I bring the Florida rep on, I'm going to you go ahead and announce your Sunday event in New York and who you are and what you're doing. Go right ahead, Rob.
Right.
And your
so
last
name.
I got to give you your last name. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, my name is Rob Becerra, and I am leading the animal welfare campaign for New York City mayor candidate Curtis Sliwa. And we are the only ones with animal welfare on our agenda. I've done animal activism and animal rights for quite a while, and I've been a part of different mayoral campaigns. On Sunday, we will be having an event in front of the New York City Animal Care and Control at 1 p.m., and that address is 326 East 110th Street in Manhattan, New York. And we will be announcing that we will be putting animal welfare on the ballot for November, but we have to have enough signatures to do so. But there will be announcements made. There will be opportunities for people to donate to the campaign, as we are not taking money from special interests or lobbyists. We are a mayor for all the people and animals of New York, and not for the real estate developers and the ones who buy out the political, you know, the politicians here in New York, because New York is play to pay, you know, politics. So we will be having our event Sunday at 1, and we will be speaking about a lot of the atrocities that happen in these kill shelters and what our complete agenda is on animal welfare for the animals of New York City.
This is great. And what I'd like to do, Rob, get with you on a later date to bring you on as a guest, okay? Because the more voices out there for the animals and standing up for them, standing up for the rights, the better, okay? So we'll be in contact, and thanks, and please let me keep in touch with me and let me know how you're doing, and I will help share that event because I'm an admin on a lot of pages and groups on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, you know, LinkedIn, so help you out,
sure.
Okay? Teamwork.
I definitely appreciate that. We need all the help we can get. So if any listeners out there who are as passionate as we are about making New York City no kill, thousands of animals die in the city shelters unnecessarily. Obviously, we have other great agendas for animal welfare here in New York. But that's going to be one of them that we will be discussing on Sunday and how we are going to move forward to make that happen. But if anyone is listening and is able to make a donation to our campaign that is tax deductible, you can go on Curtis Sliwa, S-L-I-W-A, that's Curtis Sliwa for mayor.com to make a donation to our campaign.
Yes,
I definitely much appreciate you having me on.
Hey, and I'll begin with you later to bring you on as a guest, okay? But I wanted you to get, when I found out about it, that's when I suggested, you know, hey, come on and announce it. And everyone out there, press that share button. You know, that's how the word gets out, goes viral. Because it's just like Voices
Absolutely.
Carry for Animals support group. Rob asked to join that, and I'll approve you and everything, because there's a lot of admins on there, and there's a lot of good stuff, and I will be sharing it through there and on my main page and pages I admin on, okay? And or help.
Sure,
that'd
be much appreciated. Any help that we can get is help for the animals. You know, I think it's vital that we evolve as a society, and you know, not having this mayor candidate as mayor will pretty much be a death sentence to all shelter animals as thousands a year die. And we got to make sure that doesn't happen. And the way we make sure that doesn't happen is by literally getting Curtis into office and expanding the Department of Animal Welfare to oversee all animal-related issues in New York City. And we got a really good plan for that, and it works within the New York City budget. So I'm really excited to be a part of it, because it's monumental, it's historical, and we will set an example like Austin has done, and it will have a ripple effect across this country.
Okay. But anyway, Rob, I'm going to go ahead and give my guest. But thank you so much for calling in, and best of luck. Keep me informed, okay? And I'll be passing that along. You know, for the next several days, because it's Thursday, so we got, you know, enough time to get that word out there, okay?
Absolutely. Thank
and
you
best
very
of
much.
Luck. Hey, no problem.
You.
And you're more welcome to listen to the show, okay? Because I have an amazing guest and a lot of great shows. I'm so proud of them. You know, callers,
That's
everything.
Wonderful. I appreciate you having me on.
Hey, no problem. And I'll be getting with you soon, okay, about being a guest.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to bring my guest on this evening, and we're going to have another great show. Florida Representative Elizabeth Federoff, and I want to welcome her on board. We're going to be talking about Florida HB 731, Animal Cruelty, revises elements of the certain animal cruelty offenses, prohibits failure to provide animal adequate shelter, provides criminal penalties. Okay, so Representative Federoff, welcome aboard. So excited to have you on. How are you this evening?
Thank you so much. I'm great. How are you?
Hey, fine, thanks. And I want to give a shout-out to your the legislative secretary for setting us up, connecting us, you know.
Definitely.
Francisca,
definitely.
Is that her name?
And yeah.
So she's listening in, and to your legislative assistant too, a big hello, because it takes teamwork. But so
definitely, yes, I have a great staff. They're fantastic.
You've got something to be proud of there, you know. That's awesome. But you want to go ahead and tell us about this Florida House Bill 731, and it's still in legislation right till the end of this month, I believe, April 30th.
Yes, it's so I filed House Bill 731, and it's Senate Bill 1122 on the Senate side a few months ago before our session got started. And so we've been trying to move it through the process, and unfortunately it was not heard, but we are going to workshop it over the summer and work on it to fine-tune it. We've been in discussions with some changes that we can make to make the language stronger, so we have a better shot of getting it heard next year, so we can make these changes to Florida law. So that's where we're at right now. It was not heard on the Senate side either. So we really need to tighten up this language and make sure that we have the best product possible to get through.
Yes, and that's something to look forward to because, you know, these animals were their voices and we got to be heard and make their life comfortable because I've seen, Representative Federer, I've seen some horrific photos of dogs chained to trees mm-hmm. or fences and they can't, you know, they have dirt in their food or their water or have mm-hmm. neither one of them. And that's so disturbing to see because we got to look out for them because they can't call the police and they can't call this radio platform. They can't make laws.
Exactly.
We have to do it for them. And to see right. that, you know, I mean, it's not like in Florida, there was, you know, where people when a hurricane warning or, watch, and they have, you know, there was photos of animals, the dogs tied to trees. And I couldn't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that is so cruel. I mean, and
yeah.
I couldn't believe it. You know, I mean, under any kind of weather condition, you know, snow, ice, freezing, hot, there are so many ways they can be under distress out there. And we have to look out for them because
we're doing a pretty good job here in Florida as far as making some changes to the law. We did pass Ponce's Law a while back, which actually was due to a puppy that was killed in Ponce Inlet, Florida. And it came to the attention of a local legislator who brought forth Ponce's Law and basically made it so that it's a felony if you kill an animal in that manner. It was a very tragic situation. And so we got that legislation passed. And then this legislation is follow-up to that to actually tighten up the language a little bit more and also add the shelter provision, which makes sure that there's adequate shelter for an animal that's being kept out of doors, making sure that, you know, they can get out of the sun or the rain, you know, there's enough ventilation and adequate space for them. So that was actually part of the bill as well, which will ensure that if our animals are out of doors, they're taken care of properly. So, like I said, we're going to try to tighten up this language some more over the summer so that we have a great product to bring forth and the law here in Florida.
Yeah, that would be great, and I'll be, you know, keep in contact with your state legislator or, you know, Francisca, and next year we'll have another mm-hmm. show, you know, when everything gets together and get the word out there because the more exposure, the better. And
we appreciate the support. I mean, honestly, you can track the bills as they move through the process, and as each committee stop comes up, you can, you know, I encourage people to reach out to the committee members and let them know that this is important legislation and that they should be voting up on it, making sure that the chair gets the bill on the schedule so we can get it heard. That's all very important things to do as we're moving through the process. So I will make sure that my staff or myself reaches out to you next year when we do this legislation and ensure that you guys know where it's at so you can help advocate for some stronger laws here in Florida.
Yes, more than happy to, you know, because it's a human chain reaction, you know, to take action, and that's what it takes. And, that, you know, the more people call in, like you said, the committee members and the chair, you know, mm-hmm. get interested and stay interested because that's what it takes, you know, get involved.
Yep.
You know, please don't wait for the next person to do something. Do something yourself because that's what matters. You know, all lives matter out there, everyone, including all the animals. You know, we're all on this earth
definitely.
Temporarily, and we got to make the best of it and make the best lives for them possible. You know, so, you know, do what you can.
Well, and I can tell you just from the research that we've done on this this legislation and just on this issue in particular, it's tragic. You know, my staff and I have looked up news articles and different stats and everything on animal cruelty cases, and it is truly tragic what happens out there. And so, you know, it's sad, and we need to make some changes to the law to ensure that these people are punished for harming, like you said, animals that don't have voices that need to be protected. And so that's what we're trying to do.
That's wonderful. And Pounce's Law, I had Debbie, the creator of the bill, Debbie Durano, She's been on here several times talking about the bill and everything. So she's doing out there, you know, great work and being a strong voice.
She's a great advocate for this issue.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I hope she keeps it up. And I know she will, because it takes all of us, you know, strong leaders and supporters equals to strong victories. And that's what we want to see out there, because it means so much, you know, protection over these animals, over their safety and their well-being, and free from fear and torture and anxiety, everyone. You know, platform, I stand up for all, you know, animals out there in need and distress, from domestic to farm to wild. I mean, you name it. And I'm going to try to do everything I can to help out, because this radio platform is not all that I do to help out. I also help out the elderly in need and distress, elder abuse. So there's a lot going on out there. And there's a lot of progress being made. Why? Because we are doing something about it. We're getting together, you know, as a team and doing what we need to do to get better lives and futures for them. And guess who thanks us? It's the animals, because they see their lives changing for the better, their life and futures. So, but they just can't tell us. But once we see those photos and see them happy and jumping around and doing the happy dance or victory dance, we know that we done our part, you know. Put a little love in your heart and do your part. And I got a caller here.
Well, I do my part. I've got 5 cats, so let me tell you, I'm doing my part. And they're all rescues, so.
That is
they eat
awesome.
Me out of house and home, but I'm doing my part.
got 2 cats and a dog here, and they've been rescued too, you know, so. Yep, and they're spoiled, so they think they hit the Florida lottery.
You know, there you go.
So, I got a caller on area code 530. Going to bring you on if you have any questions or comments for the guest, Representative Baroff. Go right ahead. Live and on the air.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hi, Debbie.
Hey, how's it going?
This is Jennifer. Good. How are you?
Good so far. Great show again.
Yes, awesome. Yes, hi, Representative Federhoff. Thank you so much for sponsoring this very important bill. I've spoken with Debbie Dorino a few times. Wonderful, wonderful advocate, an amazing lady, and I appreciate everything that she does. Just so relentless in her pursuit of justice and, you know, changing the laws for animals there in Florida. And so, yes, thank you so much for sponsoring it. I did have a question. You mentioned that you were going to be working on the language throughout the summer for HB 731. And
right.
I was wondering if perchance there might be any discussion in regards to enclosure specifications in addition to into shelter requirements, because I do know that I've been working on these type of issues for the last 5 or so years, and I helped to co-author Dillon's Law, that's HB 177, which unfortunately it doesn't look like we're going to have a success this year. Luckily, Senator Tadeo is saying she's going to continue pursuing attended tethering, hopefully into the next coming years until it passes. So, they coincide, attended tethering and the shelter requirements and enclosure specifications are all just tied together, because that's so often the issues that advocates are calling about and that we see all across the country. We have a Facebook group called Canine Unchain USA that we share a lot of these scenarios where, you know, these dogs are in chains or in little tiny kennels, little tiny boxes, or little itty bitty 6x8 enclosure, and they're two huskies or Great Danes in tiny enclosures. And there's some advocates that I've been interacting with for a while from Sumter County, and Sumter County is one of the counties that does not have an attended tethering, which they have been trying to, because there's 19 counties that have attended tethering, which has been working wonderfully. And so luckily for these advocates, they kept pushing, and these two specific dogs in Sumter County were in deplorable condition, in the absolute muck and mud on these chains. They could barely move. Advocates made enough noise about it, and called out the situation. So finally, with the noise made, a kennel was created for the two dogs, but not a whole lot of space. Mm-hmm. on concrete, and you know, if they're basically thrown in a shoebox and you kind of throw away the key. Yeah, being on chain off of chains, yeah, that's good. But then if they're in a shoebox and not in an appropriate size for that that size of dog, then you have the same unsanitary, deplorable scenario still. Yeah. So I know in some ordinances that I've seen in different parts of the country, different states, they do have kind of a if a dog's 100 pounds or so, they require this, you know, such and such square feet and on down.
Right.
So just kind of wondering if anyone has been toying, if you and your legislative.
It's definitely something that we've talked with staff about. We've had numerous conversations with staff about what we could do to fine-tune this. We did get some pushback from the hunting community on the shelter part of the bill. And so we're going to try to make everybody happy in the best way we can. But, so we're trying to tweak the language so that, you know, we don't necessarily cause problems for anybody, and we actually do help these animals. So it's, you know, we don't just want a feel-good piece of legislation. We want something that's actually going to, you know, make a difference for these animals. We have talked about specifications and how to word that and how to make it so that, you know, it's actually applied. And that's kind of the big thing, is like getting them to actually prosecute these cases. And so we really need to make sure that whatever language we get passed is adequate to be able to get them to actually prosecute it. You know, it's not too vague or it's not too tight. It's got to be somewhere in the middle where they'll actually use it to prosecute an individual. And I think that's where we're at right now, is just trying to figure out how to word it appropriately for that.
Right.
So,
you
can definitely reach out to my office and send me whatever information you have. If you have research from what other states have done, you know, that'd be great. You know, obviously my office has done a lot of research and pulled stuff together, but whatever you might have, because, you know, being an advocate, I'm sure you have, more information than we might have.
Oh, I would absolutely love to. We had actually put something together when we first started out working on the language for Dylan's bill. We originally had hoped to include have it be a more inclusive bill and include shelter requirements and enclosure requirements. But being with COVID happening and everything, you know, we figured we probably should keep it simple. And so that's, to just address the tethering issue at the time. So why I was excited when I talked to Debbie, and then when she had posted that she was working on shelter requirements. So I was like, well, perfect, because yeah, these would work together beautifully. We did have some original language in Dylan's bill initially that, I would be happy to send that over to your office, and, you know, you guys can take a look. And I can gather together what I've found over the years too in some of the other ordinances that do address enclosure sizes, things like that.
Right.
I think if you're keeping it simple where I know the ordinances that I have seen with addressing that, addressing enclosure, that it's an eyeballing issue. It's not like, you know, okay, for a 100-pound dog, okay, we'll bring out a scale kind of thing and let's weigh the dog. You know,
right.
That. It's just, it's like a quick eyeball.
Do an approximation.
Right.
Yeah, do an approximation rather
correct.
Than we think this dog is between 80 and 120
right.
pounds, so it should be in this size enclosure, that kind of, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, because like even you look at like a Chihuahua and you're like, okay, yeah, he's roughly whatever, 6 pounds. Or, you know,
right.
So yeah, it would just be a visual estimation. So I would think, you know, and if that's written in the language, that should keep it pretty simple that, you know, the animal
right.
control officer is not going to have to get out and try to, you know, really, you know, work that. But there's some really reasonable language in some of the ones that I've seen. You know, we could maybe even reach out to the counties that have that and see how well that's applied in their area. Because I know with Dylan's law, we got a lot of wonderful feedback from like over 11 of the county's animal control directors that gave us feedback on how well attended tethering has been working in their county.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a huge help
right.
in the, you know, in the feedback. Because, I mean, they're out enforcing the law. So so perhaps we could maybe gather some feedback from these areas that have enclosure specs and see how it's working for them.
Right.
And you know, give us a little insight.
And like I said,
we're
going to work with staff over the summer to work on this language. So, you know, we've got time to get something together and fine tune it and get staff on board on that. So.
That's
that'll be
wonderful.
Great.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Jennifer, the co-sponsor is Representative Emily Zosberg. I should have got a hold of her and had her on also. But once, Representative Farrell was talking about over the summer, and if you can, you know, get in contact with them and show them what you got, because Representative Federal, Jennifer's been a guest on the show many times, standing up for the animals. She's got a great voice out there and helping them out, whether they're all over the place, right, Jennifer, out California, Florida, everywhere, and doing what's right. And a big thank you, Jennifer, for doing that, you know, because every effort counts and every, you know, positive change comes along. That takes teamwork. And you're relentless out there, what you're doing. And you
trying.
Right.
It's a constant battle, as we all of us advocate people know, you know, and the representatives that advocate for as well. We appreciate legislators like yourself, Representative Federhoff, that care, you know, that actually are being a voice, you know, in the legislature that makes such a difference. And even though Dylan's bill doesn't look like we're making it through this year, what I'm hoping to do is take all the experiences, all the material and successes that we did have this session for Florida. And I'm located only about 45 minutes away from the California State Capitol. And so I'm planning on taking this material and this coming California 2020, the 22 session, to lobby for it and see if we can update California's as well, because it's not the greatest over here either. So
yeah, I'm sure.
because that's the key, is like if we can get one state that can be that trailblazer and groundbreaking and make that difference, that's that catalyst to start the ball rolling where other states can take that pattern and, you know, run with it, kind of like right now with HB 45 with dealing with puppy mills and the sale of animals in pet stores. That one actually first passed in California in 2018, I believe it was, by the time flies. But one of the advocacy organizations here in California actually got that one going, got that one passed, and since then several other states have passed it, New Jersey, I think Maryland, and I think Illinois is working on theirs, and then of course they're in Florida, same thing. You get that pattern
right.
going, and you're blazing the trail. So that's really what
right.
we're hoping with your bill there, with dealing with shelter, because so often shelter it's so vague. A piece of plywood
right.
up against a house or a car.
Mm-hmm.
Oops, sorry, my pup is putting in their 2 cents. And they're like, yes, yes.
Well, what I can tell you just from my legislative experience is that issues like this sometimes take a few years to get through. You'll get it
right.
heard in a couple of committees. You'll get some recommendations. You get a chance to work on the language some more and fine-tune it. Find out who all is going to be fighting against you, so you know how to better argue against them the next time.
Right.
So, I've worked on issues, in this process for 7 years before something got passed. So don't be discouraged. Right. I'm not saying it's going to take 7 years, but
Thank
I'm just
you.
Saying don't be discouraged that, we didn't get heard this year. Or that, the tethering bill didn't move forward as much as it should have. But
yeah.
I will say that, we'll just continue working on this and continue fine-tuning it, and eventually we'll get where we need to be. And it's good to have input from different groups because you get a better bill. I mean, we can't
right.
always think of everything on these types of issues. And so, like I said, what you were saying as far as what other states are doing, they may come up with a better idea that we may wind up implementing because it works for us as well. So that, don't get discouraged. We'll keep working on this. And like I said, we're going to be working on this over the summer and trying to
awesome.
Figure out how to make it a better product. So.
I'm thrilled to hear that you and your colleagues are going to continue working on that, and because there's always ways to tweak it, and you just keep working. You sort of just ping pong back and forth. You keep throwing it out there. You cast your net, and I know that especially on the state level, these bills can take years to finally stick and have that victory. But I really think, because as far as the tethering issue is, like I tell people, Florida is light years ahead of the rest of the country,
mm-hmm.
believe it or not, with,
yeah.
with this issue being that almost 65% of the population is already covered with this type of protection. And so that's
right.
kind of why we've turned our focus. I tried a couple years here in California and wasn't really able to catch ground yet, so that's when I was discovering, and we connected with the Florida League of Humane Voters and started collaborating with them because of how much advancement had already taken place over the years in this area, and they were just so much further ahead. It's like, well, let's focus on Florida and see where, where we can, how far we can go with it. And at least we did. We were like just thrilled that We passed unanimously through the Agricultural Committee, and usually the Agricultural Committee with this type of bill,
mm-hmm.
as you probably well know, that's one of the harder,
yeah.
the hardest committees to get through.
Definitely.
So
definitely.
To pass unanimously, we were like, whoa, really? Like, okay, all right, well, okay, let's see where it goes. So unfortunately, that's as far as we made it, but like you said, we just have to stay on it. So I'm really hoping
mm-hmm.
that your bill, with the shelter specifications can make it through and you can fine tune, because it's so important, so important. We have
yeah.
just seen the worst scenarios out there. I mean, just atrocious so-called shelters that
mm-hmm.
that so many of these dogs are out there are just existing, trying
yeah.
to survive day in and day out with such scraps of what too many people consider shelter, and it's heartbreaking. And so
really
your bill
sad.
Is so important. So I'm so thrilled. Again, I know I'm redundant, that you know, you've been working with Debbie to get this together. Mm-hmm. And I just, yeah, crossing fingers, crossing paws that, yeah, yes, all the little toe beans on all the little paws.
And you know what, yep. Jennifer, and you know what's stronger? Prayers. The power that go through fingers.
right. Yes, and for those of you that, you know, people that are, you know, spiritual, it's like, yes, send your prayers. I definitely am always doing that. And, just so appreciate the people that are out there fighting and being that voice.
It's wonderful. I mean,
and I appreciate all the support that we've actually received a lot of support via email and phone calls on this too, and we appreciate that, and we'll just keep that energy going to work on it and get it going next year.
Absolutely. Yes.
2022.
Oh, yes. I know. I can't believe 2022. Remember when it was Y2K? It's like, oh, it's the turn of the millennia. You know, Y2K, what's going to happen? It's like it's 22 years in the past already. What?
Isn't that something?
That's funny.
And we're heading for the 22nd century. Isn't that something else? I mean, from all of us that's been in the 21st century, you know, or the 20th century and everything. And just look at how many changes have been made, you know. So
yes.
We can't give up.
A lot of victories.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Big V
yes.
word, so. Victory. And the big victory, you know, just got this. My cats passed away around, that was December 18th, and had her for a long time. The neighbors abandoned her. They used to work for Humane Society as technicians. It didn't make sense. They took the three dogs and moved and left Kitty. And she passed away last December. So one of my good friends three months ago had asked me, you know, out by her horse, there's, you know, the mama cat had, you know, kittens and everything. And so she asked me if I would put it on social media, you know, to get him a nice home. So I went over, looked at him. She says, you know, anybody would want this, you know, this cat, I want to bring him, you know, because some of the kittens were missing. They didn't know it was from wildlife or, you know, just run off. And I said, yes, I do. So, you know what I named him? Justice. Because I'm always fighting for justice. And I said, it's between victory and justice. And he is doing so good. He's all black and he has white under his hind legs. And got the other cat, Serenity. She's a Siamese cat. And she was abandoned many years ago. My good friend took her in and then had too many dogs. And she asked me if she, you know, it was Princess, so I named her Serenity. So all three of the pets in this household have been abandoned. And that's a sad, you know, but not no more. They don't have to worry about that no more. And Sugar Bear, you know, came in as a stray Humane Society. And I'm thinking, well, the owner probably, you know, had puppies and then just dumped her, you know. And that's sad. But she doesn't worry about that no more. You know, she's in a tender, loving, caring home, all of them, and it will continue to be, you know. So that's the main thing. Be their voices, everyone. Make sure they're in great homes and they're happy. That's what they want. They're unconditional love, everyone.
Yeah.
And they're so just like children and elderly. They're voiceless and helpless, defenseless, you know. So we've got to be their voices and make sure they're having good lives and comfortable
lives.
We do.
Yes. We do. We're pretty excited, too, because Representative Federhoff's bill is addressing shelter. We're also pretty excited, and we've been keeping our eyes on a bill with shelter requirements and things of that nature and other temperature extremes in Florida State. Have you heard anything about or looked at what they're doing in Texas at all, Representative Federhoff?
I haven't. What are they doing in Texas?
Texas, I would have to say probably the majority of the cases that are shared in our Unchaining group on Facebook, so many of them come out of Texas. And And I guess they don't, you know, they don't have a lot of their ordinances that address shelter and everything there. So they have they have a bill, 873, Senate Bill 474, and they're trying to get some basic standards for shelter and care for restrained outdoor dogs as well. I have a little, some little notes here. There's an organization called Texas Humane Legislation Legislative Network, and I have talked to their director too on things that, you know, working over here on Dylan's bill. We were able to kind of swap some information there, but so many of us advocates are just really hoping that something can pass there for the state of Texas as well, because there is rampant cruelty that happens in Texas state. I mean, it's everywhere, of course, but I don't know if maybe because, you know, Texas is so big, so bigger problem, bigger, I don't know, but a real need for more detailed specifications in their cruelty language in a lot of their bills. So so really, really happy to hear them working on that, because they recently, you probably heard just recently when they had the freak snowstorms.
Yeah.
And everything that happened there, and power out because they weren't prepared, because it's not common to have snow and things like that happening of that magnitude. So, so they were having so many dogs, like, freezing to death.
Sad.
Out there. It was just terrible. I mean, some of the images that I came across in some of these posts where people just not prepared and the dogs just chained out there and nobody bringing them in. No, you know, very little or no shelter. And
Debbie mentioned something earlier about the, you know, hurricanes and stuff like that. And I know when some of the storms swept through like the Mississippi area and Louisiana, and the animals were just, you know, the families bugged out, you know, they left and they basically just left their animals behind. And so people were literally, you know, going around in boats to go rescue dogs off of roofs because, you know, they had nowhere to go, or they were exhausted and, you know, they were just stuck. So, I mean, I've seen it a lot when those type of things come through and, unfortunately the animals get, and part of it, and what we've done actually here in Florida, which is good, is, we passed a law that basically said that, you know, like certain shelters will actually allow you to bring your animals with you, because what happens is people, you know, they're like, well, I need to get out, and I'm not going to be able to bring my animal to the hotel or to the shelter because they're not going to allow it. So we have opened up more of that availability so people don't abandon their animals. So at least we have that going for us.
Yes, and that is huge, because you really hope that would be at least hopefully a major deterrent for people that if they have the knowledge that, okay, yeah, hurricane's hitting, but I can take my pet with me wherever I'm going, you know, hotel, wherever. I mean, that's because especially a state like Florida being hit so frequently with this type of extreme weather, a piece of legislation like that can save so many lives. You know.
Yeah, it's also an issue, and I've never even thought about this, but when you're trying to leave a domestic abuse situation, I think we've addressed this previously, last session, where women, I'm going to say women, don't want to leave because they can't take the animal with them.
Yes.
And they don't want to leave their dog behind because, you know, if the guy's being abusive to them, what's going to happen to their dog? And, you know, a domestic violence shelter isn't willing to take them in with an animal. And so there's been some changes to that as well. So that, you know, they don't feel like they're trapped because they don't want their animal to get hurt. We're working on it. We're trying to make some changes to make animals' lives better in Florida. So,
Well, it's amazing. Well, and also too, I mean, with Dillonsville, you know, it's we you know, trying to reach out to lawmakers that maybe not be super, you know, into animals, so to speak, you know, that this type of legislation, you're helping reduce the risk of children, because I mean that aggression is exponentially increased when you leave a dog. You know, husbandry is just leaving them on a tether or chain 24/7. Yeah. That aggression is three mm-hmm. to five times more likely to increase. And of course, the children, the ones that are, hey, nice doggy, you know, and come up and pet the doggy, but with without any barrier in between the child, and you know, and it can take seconds. That's all it takes sometimes. I mean, just a brief second. Where, you know, the mom mm-hmm. could just turn and turn back, and if it's a neighbor's dog, or, you know, that it can just take seconds, and then lives are lost that way of our little ones. And so it's something to protect, like Debbie's saying, you know, something to protect our vulnerable children as well. So, you know, to improve the lives of our pets, but also to hopefully eliminate as many of these tragedies as possible, because that's one of the things that I kind of was, you know, reaching out to the legislators, you know, that we were hoping would put the bill on the agenda, is that, you know, we really hope, crossing our fingers, that another child is not killed, because I mean, I don't want that blood on my hands. I mean, I really don't think anybody else does. So, you know, really reconsider getting this passed, because it's really a protection, health and safety issue for the public as a whole. So
definitely.
Oh yeah, prevention and safety and all that. And that also on Allie's law. I don't. The last time I looked, it's going to probably be going into 2022 also, where Dave Hine, he was a former guest on the show, but he passed away last November, and may he rest in peace, because he was fighting hard for. He was the creator of Allie's Law, and I remember back in October before he passed away, I was going to have him on the show again, and Representative Dan Daley and Senator Pizzo had been on the shows. You know, sponsor and co-sponsor and, you know, Senate sponsor. But I think it's going to be heading for 2022, and that's where the, you know, when a pet is going to the veterinarian and it's suspected abuse or neglect or, you know, they're not required now to do that. And that's what this law is, because Allie was a victim of abuse and neglect. She's still alive. Mm-hmm. And everything. I know she misses Dave.
Yeah,
And it was so sad.
Little girl.
Representative Dan Daley and Senator Pizzo said, we're going to continue on fighting for this, you know, which I think is awesome.
Right.
And, you know, in his Dave's memory and Allie's. So out there next year, we're in 2022, we got to, you know, bring more strength in numbers, everyone, more people aboard, calling your state representatives and sharing, you know, through social media, pick them up more, you know, be polite and professional to them, and we'll get somewhere. We're going to hit a victory. And that's absolutely. The next cat I get. It's going to be named Victory, okay? I already got it planned out.
There you go.
There's going to be cat's going to be Liberty.
well, Representative Fetterhoff, if there's any way that we can help through the summer, and I don't know, do you feel then you are hoping to reintroduce then in the next session? Is that what you were saying?
That's what we're looking at. Probably going to work with Representative Slossberg and see what she's going to be working on, and see either, you know, one of us does a bill with everything in it, or we continue to do separate bills, or I'll work with her office and figure out what the best plan is.
Awesome.
And see what we can do. So that's the plan. So, and session starts early next year. So we'll be back up here sooner than we think.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Well, I would be more than happy to help in any way possible with whether it's data that, you know, I could forward on to your office or any, you know, getting out you know, action alerts. Mm-hmm. I would be totally happy to help out in any way possible to move this, you know, move your bill forward because it is so important. So we're just extremely appreciative.
Well, we would appreciate any information you can send our way, any updates, and then and we'll, of course, talk with you about what changes we're looking at making to the statute. So.
Oh, perfect. Yes. No, I am super excited about might be able to be pulled together and, you know, the tweaks being made and hopefully, yes, it will get to where we want it to be and maybe we'll have a victory in 2022. Yes.
Sounds good.
We could do a big victory dance, a happy dance. You know,
yes.
That's our goals to make, you know, but we're not just sitting here spinning our wheels. I know just having this radio platform, how many guests have gotten together, working together. I mean, it is amazing. I mean, I've never had so many, you know, talking to so many people in my life having this radio platform, you know, and becoming friends with them. Animal lovers, all you out there, you rock, okay? And give the animals a chance because once you put that bond between you, and, you know, open up your heart. This bond is magical. I mean, if the ones that don't have pets out there, try consider adopt, don't shop, you know, spay, neuter your pet.
For sure.
We got to be a part of the solutions, not the ongoing problems. You know, because several of them from the 20th century still exist today. So we got to work on fixing those and seeing the victory, that big B word. Because that's what matters, making this being a positive impact in this world. You know, it doesn't cost anything to be kind to a human or animal. You know,
well, and
nothing.
It's educating, too. It's so much of it's educating and keeping these issues in the forefront and highlighted. Because, I mean, it's amazing how many people, I mean, this is something we involve ourselves with on a regular basis. But people that, you know, that they're maybe not focused on these particular issues, a lot of times they may not even be aware of what is going and what is happening. So by you know, podcasts like yours, Debbie, and, you know, just getting the word out there, it helps to educate the public on what's happening, you know, and why we're doing this and why it's needed. And so that's a big part of it, too. I mean, and not just the public, but even those enforcing the law. I mean, a lot of times training is needed so that they're up to date on the letter of the law and on how to enforce. And, of course, Representative Federoff, you mentioned, you know, prosecution, too. I mean, that's a whole other can of worms, too, making it prosecutable.
That's right. And
right.
Jennifer,
I mean, and I think that's a big pushback that we've gotten on this issue is that, you know, the current statute is great, but, you know, in order to actually prosecute someone, there's so many things that have to fall into place. And unfortunately, these people get away with it because it's not prosecutable. So,
no.
Yeah,
ladies, we're down to a couple minutes here, and
thank you so much.
Hour went so fast, didn't it? It always does.
Definitely.
But anyway, Representative Federoff, thank you so much for coming on the show this evening. It's such an
honor thank you.
And a pleasure, and looking forward
Absolutely.
To doing another show again with you, okay? And thanks for all you're doing.
Definitely.
You know, sponsoring this bill and everything. Real men, women, and children love animals. So, you know, let's all come together and look forward in 2022 or whenever we want to get together and we'll do another show. And I'll keep in touch with your legislative assistant and secretary. And because I have all the information.
It was a pleasure speaking with you, Representative.
Thank you. Reach out to my office with whatever information. You can just email us or call us and let us know about whatever you've got for us, okay?
You can count
I really appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
thank
Debbie.
You so much. And Jennifer, thank you for calling in and all you're doing.
My pleasure.
All of you are shining stars. Animal Advocates rock, okay?
You too.
And next next week,
well, you all
everyone,
have a good evening. Thank you.
You
too, Representative.
Thank you
so much for everything.
Yes, big Thanks. Hugs. And pet those five cats you got there, okay? That's all.
Will do, will do. Thanks so much. Have a good night.
And
good
you
night.
And everyone, next week will be the Chris Kelly Foundation. Welcome her back.
Yes.
So 7 o'clock Eastern.
Great gal.
Yeah, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. Listening worldwide. Okay, all shows are recorded live. So hope everyone tunes in next week. And call in.